present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Go down to verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, or as the New King James says, without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. How many of you have heard the story about the Mutiny on the Bounty? Pretty famous story. It's been made into a movie several times. The story goes as follows. In 1787, King George of England sent the HMS Bounty to transplant the breadfruit palm from Tahiti to the West Indies so that they could develop a better food supply for the slaves. The Bounty arrived in Tahiti, spent several months harvesting and putting onto the ship a number of breadfruit plants. The crew, many of the crew just loved Tahiti. They really didn't want to leave, but the captain cast off. And as you probably remember, those of you who know the story, Captain Bligh wasn't the most kindest captain in the world, very harsh. And with those two factors, both the harshness of the captain and the fact that the crew didn't really want to leave, after several days of leaving Tahiti, there was a mutiny on the ship. And the captain and 18 of his crew members were cast off into a longboat. And the rest of the crew, made up of about 25 members, went back to Tahiti. But they were worried about the British Navy coming and arresting them and taking them back, because mutiny was a hanging offense. But 16 of them wanted to stay, and the other 9 took the Bounty and left, along with 6 Tahiti natives, 18 Tahiti women, and 1 child. Now, the captain did make it back. He navigated about 1,200 miles to another island, was picked up by a British ship, went back to England. The king sent another ship after the mutineers. They went to Tahiti and got 10 of them, brought them back. Some were hung in England. Some were actually pardoned. But what happened to the others that left? Well, the 9 that left managed to find Pitcairn Island. It was an island that wasn't on any of the charts, so it would be very difficult for the Royal Navy to find them if they didn't know the island was there. They had ample food. They had ample water, land for everyone in a mild climate. And as we know, we sort of think of those South Sea Islands as paradise, an ideal place to live. And it should have been a paradise, right? You would think it would be. But the society that resulted, and of course the island had no inhabitants prior to the landing of the Bounty, the society resulted ended up to be a hell on earth. They had no rules. They had no law. They practiced every possible combination of men and women. They lied, cheated, stole, and murdered. The Tahiti men eventually rebelled, and there was a war between the Tahiti men and the Englishmen. And when that was over, there was only 4 Englishmen left. Everybody else had been killed. In fact, of the original 9, only 1 would have died a natural death. The man that was left was named Alexander Smith, otherwise known as John Adams. If you know anything about the English Navy, they didn't have the high school equivalent graduation and take the top of their class. They just went into bars and they knocked people over the head and they woke up on ship out at sea, or they raided the prisons. So these men didn't have that great a background to begin with. But one day, John Adams was looking through one of the sea chests that they had brought aboard. In fact, the Bounty was burned. Once the nine got to the Pitcairn Island, they made sure that the British Navy wouldn't spot the ship in a harbor, so they burned it. So they were stuck on the island. They had no choice. But they did bring all their supplies in, and John Smith, or John Adams, found in a sea chest a book, and he began to read it, and it began to make sense. He began to regret his past and resolved to follow the principles that he had found in that book, and he began to teach those principles to others. In 1808, the American ship Topaz found the island and brought news of what had happened to the rest of the world. And in the book called The Book Nobody Knows by Bruce Barton, I just want to read this one quote about what they found on the island. It says, "There was no jail. There was no hospital. There was no insane asylum. There was no illiteracy, no crime, no disease. The people had no doctors, no medicine, used no liquor. Nowhere on earth were life and property more safe. What changed that place from hell on earth to a little speck of heaven dropped down upon the South Seas? The reading of the book." Now, I'd ask you to write down in a little sheet of paper what you think that book was, but I think you all know what they found in the sea chest. The Bible. The Bible. The books talk about how they had to fight to overcome their own mistakes and their own human nature. We could recognize that. It's one of the things that we're doing this week. Looking at our human nature, trying to fight it, trying to change. They took the Bible literally. They prayed together in the morning and in the evening, and they studied the Bible together every day, using it as a guide to living. When they came to understand foot washing as a symbol of humility, they washed each other's feet every week. Not once a year, every week. Eventually, when other ships began to arrive and a Seventh-day Adventist came and presented a Sabbath doctrine to them, they zealously embraced it. They began to be called legalistic. Does that ring a bell? Legalistic. Yet no one could argue with the results. Another book that was published about this event called Pitcairn Island by David Silverman has this quote in it. The tenets, what they believed, include the belief in the second coming of Christ and the concurrent beginning of the millennium, and a Hebraic emphasis on Sabbath observance on Saturday. The new creed further involved acceptance of the Bible as the only rule of faith and practice, the doctrines of salvation by faith, baptism by immersion, foot washing before communion, and tithing. Be interesting to see how they tithe on the island and what they use the tithe for. But they understood it and they practiced it on this island. We all know that this is the week for clearing the table, wiping the slate free, refreshing ourselves. We also notice that the time is getting short. As you see events happening in the world and here in the United States, you realize that we keep on going from bad to worse. And our official teachings and what people are tolerating and the number of murders and shootings and society is just on a downward spiral. Let's look at Romans 12 again. Says, "You present yourself, your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and that's your service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Isn't that what we're doing? We're trying to renew our mind. We're trying to get back to the right way of thinking. Having the same mind that God the Father and Jesus Christ have. The same way of thinking. The same approach to things that they have. In verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. I have a challenge for everybody here. It's about 5.5 months till the Feast of Tabernacles. Why don't we all commit ourselves to having the same kind of zeal for the next 5.5 months that the people on Pitcairn Island had when they discovered the principles of the Bible? And let us draw close together as a community of saints. I recommend that you take these scriptures from Romans 12 and write them down. And carry them with you every day. If you have a planner, if you have a purse, if you have a wallet, and look at them every day from now till the Feast of Tabernacles to see how you're doing. Of course, I had to do it. Okay. And write these scriptures down and say, how am I doing today in drawing close and forming the kind of community of saints that God would have us have here on earth? For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. New King James again says, without hypocrisy. Not one face when we're with the brethren, and another face when they're away from us a little bit. Abhor which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, liking to be with one another, enjoying one another's company, drawing closer to one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the eternal, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. That's a tough one. Patient in tribulation. I can't even stand to be behind somebody in the post office. I actually have to take a magazine in with me, so when I'm standing there waiting for other people, I have something to do. Otherwise, I get really jittery and impatient. Developing patience. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Giving to hospitality. You know, the night to be much remembered shouldn't just be one night in a year. It should be our way of doing business. It should be our way of treating each other. Always be willing to be hospitable. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Developing empathy for the problems of each other. Be of the same mind one toward another. Boy, that's hard. Thinking the same way, one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil, and provide things honest in the sight of all men. Goal for the next 5.5 months, to become more like this, what Paul talks about, what God wants to see in his church. Using this week of unleavened bread to accomplish that. Because that's how we're going to have to be to enter the kingdom of God. God wants to form a government of people that think alike, that care about each other, that support each other, that work for each other, that come to each other's aid, so that we can teach the rest of the world how to do this. There are still people on Pitcairn Island. According to what I can find out, the population is 48. So, you know, there's plenty of room there in case you want to go there and join the 48 people. Now, I have no idea if the harmony is still there. I have no idea if they've still kept all these principles. I haven't seen anything current about how they live. But what an example. After people being ruthlessly at each other's throats and killing and murdering each other, by one man finding a book, changing the whole culture of that island. And it sounds like they practiced very similar things to what we practice today and how it changed the island. A small group of people turned what should have been a paradise into a paradise by reading and following God's word. Another small group of people will be part of turning this world into the paradise it was meant to be. So continue this week and as we go through to the Feast of Tabernacles to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is what this week symbolizes, removing the leavening from your mind so that leaven can be removed from this world.